This podcast is brought to you by Cameron Parker and Carlin Parker. Some material is for a mature audience. Sit back and enjoy.
As soon as I'm about to leave the house, I was getting my shoes and stuff on. Guess who busts through the door?
Cam. Whooping.
I mean, flustered, red.
Welcome back to the Parker's Couch. We're with you for another week. How are my brothers doing out there?
Well, the most handsome, the most debonair is doing well.
Yes, I am doing well. Thank you.
Please. Are we have not retired that line yet.
Yes, thank you. That's how I identify.
Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone. the other brother. The same brother that I have. How you doing over there, Mr. Carlin?
Alive. I'm feeling great. Three more days in the work week. Pray for me.
Sure you're doing great, because it don't sound like it.
He sound down and out.
I'm always great. I'm always happy.
Work. I mean, you act like you work hard.
I'm tired. I need a vacation. I think I need about a week off.
Make sure you get paid.
For hard for the money.
Oh, guys. So you better treat it right.
So hard for it, honey.
Okay. So, well, I got something to lift your spirits then, brother.
That's right.
Y'all, I witnessed one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. The total eclipse. Did anybody look at the eclipse? Did anybody look at it?
Boom.
Why are y'all staring at me like I'm crazy right now? Oh my God. But anyway,
yes, I did.
Anyway, good y'all. So one of my friends, John, who's like a bit nerd about all this stuff, and he's like, he hit me up and he was like, hey, I'm gonna go check out the total eclipse. You wanna go with me? Thinking I would say no, which I normally would say no. But I said, why not? I'm not working. What else am I doing right now? Let me take that ride. And so we picked the area to go out there near Cleveland. 4 minutes. We got like a 4 minute total eclipse. And just, you talk about something that makes you feel small and just
far
like
small.
One of the beauties of the world. And you just realize we are. It was just so amazing. I can't even describe it. Like, to put it into words, and that feeling, and just the coldness that comes over, like everything just gets so cold, and the birds are all confused. They're like circling. Some are leaving.
The birds were very
they
confused.
They don't know what is going on. The way they
didn't like, the memo.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So it was magnificent. So if you haven't seen it, brother, I think I forgot, Mr. Carl Parker. I don't think I sent you pictures. I'm gonna send you some pictures if you didn't see them on my Instagram story. But you got to see it. It's beautiful, y'all. But none of y'all looked at even the partial eclipse.
I was working. I was inside the building. I followed online while I was working. So I saw pictures online. And I walked to the window in my building. And it was just sunshiny. It was nothing special, unfortunately, in D.C.
There was nothing special on my end. It was sunshine and darkness.
Hey, then.
Right. Humbug.
We learned last time you was with us. He said he don't do that sun and moon and star stuff. He said, he said that is the devil's work. Leave me alone.
He's not fascinated.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand it's beautiful. In its state, but hey, it was a thing.
It was a thing that happened and a beautiful thing. Anyway, along those
lines, can I mention something really quickly?
Yes.
I feel like Bart in this instance.
It was funny today at work. We had our class today. I had classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2:00. And we went around the Zoom and asked people, you know, how did they experience, what was the experience like for the eclipse? You know, the majority of them didn't even know about it.
Shut up.
They had no clue. I mean, the younger kids this generation, they pay attention to nothing.
Oh, well, they have
it was crazy. Well,
had to be on the TikTok dance or something for them to know what it
was. You know, something. I'm like, you didn't have any clue that was eclipsed. I mean, it was everywhere.
Right.
Nothing.
You would have known by accident, I feel like.
Exactly.
Well, you know, when certain places were causing states of emergency and everything else, you would think people would know. But, man, it's sad.
And that goes into my story later. So we'll get there about this.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll place a little pause there. But, well, brother, another thing with the sun, the moon, and the stars. So Mercury is in retrograde. And let me tell you, it has the world. One of the things that's known about this is people go crazy. It's crazy that starts to happen. And let me tell you, my week tried to get a little violent this week. Try to be a little craziness. I know you maybe got a message about a phone and something happening.
Yeah, I did get a message about a phone, and I got a text message that you were robbed or something, and I was like, "What?"
Ooh, well, let me tell you.
I went to go get Betty Mae, my 45. I said, well,
I wish I had one on me.
Betty Mae.
Betty Mae. Oh my gosh, you're a mess. Betty Mae. I need to get me a Betty. Maybe I get Sally.
Yeah.
What's going to be
her? We definitely get Betty Mae. Yeah.
So, all right. I'm about to meet your brother. We're supposed to go to the Lakers Wizards game. That was like on Wednesday or whatever. I think this was Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
And you know, I'm in my whole content kind of thing. I'm in my content group. So I have my idea of what I'm going to do to lead up to the Lakers game. And I'm taking my scenic shots and out there while waiting on the B2, which my brother knows is famously late. One of the latest that be going on. And so it was late. So I said, well, I'm bored. Let me just go ahead and start filming some scenic stuff around here. Minding my business. And then I hear like some yelling, kind of like coming from the bus stop. And I don't really pay attention to what's wrong. And then this one lady, you know, she definitely was on something, comes up to me and was like, are you filming us? No, I'm not. Like, no, I'm not filming you. Don't be filming us. So I like show her what I was recording. Look, you're not on here. She proceeds to slap the phone out of my hand. And then proceeds to start stumping, to try to stump it. So then I push her off of it and like, what the F is wrong with you? Get my phone, and I'm wiping it off. And then three guys from under there come over and start surrounding me or trying to surround me. And they were like, don't you touch her. Don't you touch her. And then start squaring up. So then I start squaring up back, and we're going back and forth, having words. I'm like, what the F you going to do? What you get away from me? And then they're like, you're filming us. You don't need to be filming us. And I was like, nobody is filming you. Who is trying to film random people under a bus stop? Like, what are you talking about? And so I hold up my phone to them while I'm right there because, in front of them and the three, it's like a semicircle. And I'm like, look, no one is there. She comes back from behind, hits my hand, and the phone goes flying like that way. And then I take off, she takes off and is trying to like stump it again and trying to whatever. So I'm running over to her. Then they run over with me too, and they like surround me and try to get physical. So then at that point, I had to step up, protect myself first and make sure I had them all in front of me. And we about to go to blows. in that time, she had picked up my phone and ran across the street.
No.
It's like a movie. All this is happening like so quickly. And then I go chase her across the street. I had one big buck up moment where I like got all up in these guys' face and two of them backed away. And then they were like, give him his phone or whatever. You're doing too much and da-da-da-da. I chased her across the street. One of them followed me. I didn't realize at the time. And so then I get her and I'm just start snatching her stuff. And I was like, give me my phone. She's wearing like three coats. She got all these bags. She has all this stuff, right? She hands me one phone, not my phone. She hands me another phone, not my phone. That's sad. Boy, at this point, the rage that is coming over me, I'm like, I don't hit a woman, but I was very, very, very close. And so I like take her bags and I'm going through her bags. She's like, don't touch my stuff. I'm like, well, you got my stuff. And I'm going through all of her mess. And the guy that followed me over, I just felt somebody coming behind me. And he's like, can I hit him? And she's like, don't hit him. And so I turn around and I'm like, hit me. And this is like, we're going at it. She runs back across the street at that point.
Oh.
And I didn't know if she threw my phone. Because then I didn't realize some cops had pulled up. And so people started scattering. And the cops were doing it. And I didn't really notice them before until later. They were doing something else. And I was like thinking she tossed my phone somewhere. And so I'm going and looking. I'm looking everywhere trying to find it, right? Not there. I don't see it. And at this point, everybody had went like kind of down the block. So I take off and I go chasing them. At this point, I've just lost my mind. And so I get the one dude. And when I get up to him, he like holds up his hands and talk about, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, man. I don't know where your phone is. I don't know what's happening, blah, blah, blah. Then I see her down another way. So I start running after her and she's fumbling through her bags and I'm yelling at her and she's like, I don't have your phone. And she jumps in this car and the car like pulls up and like, what's the problem? And I was like, well, the effing problem is she got my effing phone. Give me my phone. And then she's like, this ninja out here trying to film us and do all this stuff. Da, 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 da. And then they drive off.
No. With your phone?
With my phone. With all this stuff. I go back over. The cops are over there. What pissed me off even more was one of the cops. I'm talking to him. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw you arguing with that woman. And but I didn't know what was going on.
They don't care.
They ain't had no care in the world. Was anybody shooting? No, so I don't care.
It's a bunch of girls over there. Yelling like they always do. Let them kill themselves. That's all they don't care.
So We do the whole report, do that thing, get all that. But I still got to meet your brother at the game. I don't have a phone. He's there waiting for me. I got the tickets. Oh, that just turned into a mess. Now, your brother.
Now, listen.
What a trap.
I was in the lobby of the Capital One Center for about a half hour.
Oh, no. Sitting up in there looking crazy.
Looking crazy. The security staring at me. The police staring at me. Let me go outside because I'm getting uncomfortable. It's about time to tip off. Your brother still has not contacted me. I said, oh, my goodness. I thought about a thousand things, brother, and none of them were possible. I was like, oh, my God, let me go home. Did he fall down the stairs? Is he knocked out? Is he in bed? I had no idea what was going on. So in the Uber, which was an ordeal in itself, trying to get Uber at the Capital One Center, was a struggle. But I ended up getting an Uber. And in the Uber ride, I said, oh, yeah, let me turn on the location of the phone. And I see his phone is somewhere in Southeast D.C. I'm like, where's this place? So I Googled the place. It's somebody's house. I was like, okay, I don't recognize the house. Did somebody kidnap him? Like, what happened? So I get home and I start yelling at him. I hear nothing. Thankfully, his door is open. I didn't, in his bedroom, I didn't have to open the door. And I saw nobody was in there. I said, okay, I didn't step up, open up the door to a dead body. I said, thank God. So,
yeah.
Like, okay, what did I do? So I called one of my friends because Cameron was doctoring for one of my friends. So I called and they're like, no, he left. He's not here anymore. I said, okay. Because, you know, I can't get in contact with him. We're supposed to go to the game, and he never showed up, and he never called me. I'm like, right. that would never happen. So in my haste, I text Monica, and she didn't know where he was. Then I reached, I thought maybe she was checking his phone also. And then I reached out to our John, and I asked, was he tracking his phone? And he just happened by circumstance to be checked. I think Cameron said like a couple weeks beforehand, they shared locations for some reason. And Cameron decided to leave it on, thankfully. And he got the same location I did. So we're planning to meet up and go over to the residence that I had pulled up on the phone.
Right.
And as soon as I'm about to leave the house, I would get my shoes and stuff on. Guess who busts through the door?
Damn.
Whooping.
I mean, flustered, red, beat red.
Angry.
That was another storm. He was all over the place. I'm like, what happened?
Looking like, flustered. You ain't know what's going on.
He couldn't get his words together. He's like, do you have your phone? I was like, yes. He said, my phone's been stolen. I said, are you kidding me?
Oh, that was a whole nother ordeal that night, though, with the cops trying to go and retrieve the phone. Okay.
So you were able to locate your phone and get it back.
Yeah, but the cops couldn't do it.
No thanks to the cops.
They sorry.
They are sorry. Send them to the location. First, they're like, oh, you need to be two blocks away. So we had to get two blocks away from where it was and then wait forever for them to come meet us. A couple of other of our friends had showed up. We was all ready to go. And I was like, y'all, I don't know what's up in this place. Ain't none of us carrying nothing. I don't know what's happening, what's going on. We're going to, you know, let them go ahead and handle it. We got the location where it is. Nothing. They finally get back to us. It was like, you know, a couple people answered the phone with me, answered the doors, and they didn't know what we was talking about. We tried to call it. We ain't hear nothing. Da 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 da.
But you got your locator on, and you know it's
there. And I know it's there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my phone and John's phone are both said the same location.
That next evening where everybody was free, like me, your brother, and John went to that location. And we go into the back, and we're calling it, and they start calling it. And I was like, I hear it. I was like, I hear my phone. And then everybody started looking around. And you know you got to have the crazy white boy in the crew. He jumps on the car and is looking over, he's looking over the patio. Because, you know, we can't do that.
Yeah.
He's looking over. He's like, I see it. It's laying right there.
Oh, they just dropped the phone.
I don't know what. He's about ready to jump over it and get it. I'm like, no, I'm going to go to the door. And then your brother. And he's like, I'm going to jump over there. Then go your brother. There's a door. We're like, oh.
Yeah. There's a door right there, guys.
Go to the patio door and get it.
The logical
one. Right there. No.
Please.
The logical one. So, cops, I don't know what y'all are doing. I don't know the store. I don't know if somebody just placed it out there later. I don't know what happened to this phone. I got it. Why they did all this, I have no idea.
For us to meet Mr. King,
they had to be high on something.
Oh, yes. That's for sure.
But you said they had multiple coats on and multiple phones. So they were running some kind of scheme, some kind of scheme or scam.
Doing something. What's the phone craziness? So, Abbott, And let's just say the rest of the week has just still been crazy around DC. Everybody's fighting. I don't know what's going on. The universe is crazy.
Well, right now.
Universe
the world is crazy.
All right. Well, let's get to some sports talk real quick. Now we got all that settled and we are caught up. We can say, like, maybe it was a fight. Maybe there was a little pinching going on in these games. But we definitely had the two champions reign supreme that should have. South Carolina beating Iowa and UConn beating Purdue. But I want to talk about the ladies first and everything here. Ladies first. I just want to leave it before we get into anything like Caitlin Clark and Howard, even if we back up to some games or whatever. Can we just give Dawn Staley and South Carolina just some love?
Well,
a handclap of praise.
Definitely the GOAT. She is
definitely the GOAT.
She's an amazing person. She does it the right way. Like if you see her even prior to the game, she goes over to their staff, shakes everyone's hand prior to anything going on. She shakes the whole staff's hand. She leads by example, and like she's really got old school principles. Listen to her interview where she talked about how when she recruits, and she talked about if a child does not listen to their family, to their parents, she don't care how good they are, she ain't gonna, because if they do not listen to the parents, how could she expect them to listen to
her? I love that.
And so, you know, she just leads the right way. And, you know, there's so much that can be learned from her actions by someone like Kim Mulkey. She needs to go to Dawn Staley's class to learn about how to handle things with class and dignity. You know, even with her giving Caitlin Clark her roses.
She did.
After.
Yeah.
Yes.
She doubled back.
I mean, she just has tremendous class, tremendous dignity. And I have a ton of respect for her, for the way she handled herself.
Yeah. Yes, brother. I echo everything you said. I've been following Dawn since her playing days and when she was coaching at Temple. And I was like, man, she gets a big time job. And she went to South Carolina. I was like, why is she going to South Carolina? They have no history of winning, no championship culture. I was like, oh God, this may be a bad move for her. Man, she has created such a dynasty. It reminds me of Carolina. In terms of the familiar aspect of it, the way they talked about how she's so close to the parents and it's a family there. Like all the players come back, all the players still keep in touch, all the players are still rooting for them. Like Aaliyah Boston was commentating the game, she was down there on the floor, right on one. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. And I love the fact that Dawn has been pushing. Highlighted women's basketball like really heavy before Caitlin Clark, like maybe the last 3 or 4 years. And she was always talking about how they weren't getting coverage on ESPN. It wasn't right. Like maybe it should be some kind of competitive aspect with ESPN because they're not doing the women properly. And I love how she gave flowers to, I don't know if you guys were reading the coverage, all the accolades that the pregame was getting with the all female panel with Carolyn Peck and those ladies, how excellent they were doing and how everybody was really enthralled with their knowledge and how they're communicating the game in such a way where it's easy for even the novice fans to understand. And Dawn in her press conferences are bigging them up and saying, hey, ESPN, we need a weekly show. These ladies need a weekly show. Like she's always standing
some up. Some people don't think that.
Stand up for what's right.
Some people don't think that last day now, brother. Always standing up.
I know. That's how that's so stupid. They're just dumb. I hate this. I really feel like I wish we could warp out of this world and create another planet somewhere else.
Yeah, we won't go on that route. This is gonna tackle the trans sports topic one day. We're gonna go to that and get into a discussion about it. We won't go in there with this one, not with this podcast, but whenever she got asked that question and she had a response, you know, her response was what it was. But for people, it's one thing to disagree and have a different opinion, that's fine. But to say, like, she doesn't champion women, she doesn't, you know, to go in the way that they did on her because of the
crazy. Well,
that's crazy.
Well, for one, that gentleman, he needed his job.
Absolutely.
1,000%. Because that's not even.
Absolutely.
All he was bait.
Yeah, that's that. He works with OutKick. That's all they do.
That's clickbait. Mm-hmm. Man, that's not true journalism, man. And it's, she knew what he was trying to do. If everyone,
she called him out on it.
Response. She called him out at first, and when she started out, she was like, "Man, you're going real deep on this stuff, ain't you?" And so she really didn't get into the answer, and then she said, "But you want me to say one thing or the other, so I'm going to say it."
She said, "I know people going to be on my timeline.
I'm going to play your game."
Me. Just because, and here we are on the precipice of, you know, history right now, and you out here for clickbait.
Yes,
but
just ridiculous.
You know, Mike, we said that topic there is a topic for another day. But what really should be the topic is, you know, why was this gentleman thinking that answer out at this time?
Yes. Ask those why questions, please. Yes.
At this time.
Yeah. At this time. Why are you? But that's kind of, well.
Yeah.
We have time to discuss later.
Oh, yeah. We'll certainly get into it, for sure. And we're going to have plenty of time. Yeah.
Yes.
To get into that future podcast.
But, you know, as far as the season, though, to go undefeated, you know.
Undefeated.
To go undefeated. And really, it was a miraculous season.
It was.
You know, to hit that shot against Tennessee.
I was.
You know, it's just.
That shot against Tennessee, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it was just meant to be for Dawn to have this type of success. And, you know, it hurt her to her core for them to lose last year. Like, she talked about how she handled that moment and not coaching in the moment and what it, you know, she calls Aaliyah Boston and that crew her freshies or something like that. And, you know, it just hurt her to have that loss.
Yeah, it's a redemption story too in itself. And they're like, it's the same as that team too that put you out.
Yeah. And for Raven Johnson.
I was about to go to
that kid hurt.
Yeah.
To get her kickbacks like she did. Oh my gosh. She locked
out a lot. Yo, because that first quarter, Caitlin was
locked her down.
She was cooking them girls. Killing, like 18.
She was killing Bree Hall. Bree Hall couldn't do nothing with her. But when Raven Johnson got a hold of her.
Oh my God.
What a great culture move that was.
It was like one of them old school whippers.
Yes. Yeah.
So brought the switch out on her and tanned them legs.
I think they said she went like 5 for 20 or something with Raven on her.
And Raven was ripping her straight.
That one from going into the house.
Oh, the one
And then with the left
halftime.
So pretty. You know, that was one of the moments where I would fight.
Yes. I was surprised Caitlin didn't throw that ball at
you. You're on TV. You ain't gonna do me like that. Right. That ripped Caitlin's soul out of me when she did that.
And then she was blocking her shot.
You know about the Bears doing on TV. But
he was doing it all.
But think what Caitlin did to her last year.
That was so okay. I thought that was so disrespectful. It was so much about
waving her off,
Joel, and doing so the hand things and stuff. I've never seen that happen on the court. You know that when there are people who can't shoot, you know, who aren't great shooters and you play off of them. But I've never seen someone physically takes their hand and wave at them and turn around and turn your whole body around.
And dismiss them. Well, yeah.
I've never seen that.
Brother.
I know there is a huge double standard. That's all I got to say, man. No,
I've got to say,
anybody of color that performs in that or does things in that manner, they are villainized.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They are vilified to the highest, man. And
Raven carried that with her. And said, moment, I am not. Oh boy, and she got in her. I was happy for her. I really
was. Oh, she was eating her up and smiling the whole time. I was like, she just smiled. She eating her. So why is she taking it? And even when getting bad calls, when she was eating her up, those refs were completely biased.
Like all tournament.
And Dawn was upset initially because of how biased they were being. But she regained her composure, but you could tell the emotions were getting to her because she was seeing what happened to her last year.
Yep.
Coming in fruition.
Exactly. I love how Raven was just, your point, brother, was just laughing and smiling whenever she had a bad call.
It was awesome, man.
Awesome. And I was so happy for her. Definitely. And also, I want to big up the freshman, baby.
Woo boy.
Can we talk about the freshman?
Talk about it, Carla. Tessa?
Tessa Dawson?
Tessa.
Lighten them
up. The project.
Wally? Ooh, wee.
That, unconscious. She changed the game. When she came in, I'm off the bench. The whole energy changed. The whole tempo changed. The confidence. She's a dog. Oh, yeah. I love her. She's going to be such a great player.
Dawn said she's a transcendent player.
Yeah, like, she did call her.
She said those words. She could have gone anywhere else and a coach would have put the ball in her hand and she'd have been playing just like Caitlin Clark is.
Yep.
Just like Caitlin Clark.
Had that free reign to do whatever.
Yeah, she can do it all. Yeah. She can drive. She can shoot. She can dish. She has the total package. And she, she plays defense.
That was the other thing that I was
going to
say about Caitlin. You know, they always put her on the weakest person.
Yeah.
Offense.
Yep.
They try to hide her every time.
They always put her on somebody that possibly can't shoot well from the outside where she can lay off and not really play any defense.
And this is what's going to be interesting on the next level for Caitlin. And this kind of leads into one of the things I want to talk about too is like one of the things that pissed me off was like the coverage, even after South Carolina won. Like everything was still about Caitlin. And even like multiple headlines still has Caitlin's name in it. Like whatever South Carolina.
Well, what a
picture. Like South Carolina goes undefeated and Caitlin Clark's picture is there. Like what kind of sense is that made?
It had the slogan up there, the headline, South Carolina wins title
but Caitlin Clark in Iowa is on the on the picture, smiling.
That's so ridiculous. That's so South Carolina just went, what, 109-3 over the last three seasons?
Three. And not a picture of Dawn Staley or smiling.
Serious.
109-3? Jeez.
That is ridiculous. Absolutely.
You will get a failing grade in journalism school.
Like one of the things that somebody knows
as a project.
So it's been interesting to me too to hear this Caitlin thing is such an interesting phenomenon to me because it's so different with the era we live in. Because we were talking even before we got on to do our podcast here, like the how many great white women's basketball players there have been and there still are. And nothing has gone to this level. And now even they turned on them. Because the way they were meant to turn on Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, like two of the greats right there who just speak reality. When Scott Van Pelt was asking Taurasi about the next level, it wasn't just Caitlin. He included Caitlin, but he was talking about Angel too and all the people going into the draft. He was like, what's going to be the difference? Going to the next level. And she simply said, they're in for a rude awakening. She said it's one thing to dominate. She says one thing to look like superhuman against 18-year-olds, but it's another thing when you're playing grown professional women who have been playing for multiple years. And she
grizzled.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said, we all went through it. And she said, that happens in the NBA. This is the WNBA is the same. Oh, she's a hater. Oh, see, the greats, they just bad because she's already better than all of them. Like, these Caitlin fans.
They're crazy.
They're crazy. But like you said, the no defense, ain't nobody to slack off on over there on that next level. You're behind. No. You're about to get busted.
Busted.
Grown women bills, baby. Yeah, now she's going to let you have to take that spot.
Raven Johnson locked there up.
No, ma'am.
Did she see some of those cats over there?
Okay.
Oof.
I'm just so confused with people. And I don't get it. Because it seems like any critique you make of Caitlin, you become a hater. But she was the Wooden Award winner this year. You know, she did get awarded that on Tuesday, which was suspected. She had an amazing season. Breaking the records, and you know, she's in the record books for sure. What did y'all think about Lynette Woodard with what she had to say regarding the record?
Lynette Woodard, I mean, put it in perspective.
Sure it did.
People do need to honor that. She was playing with a men's basketball and no 3-point line.
She said, so who beat that? She said it was not the same.
Hello.
She said it's not duplicated. Right. She said, so my record is not broken. And she has a point.
It's not the same. It's not in the same era as what she is what she was trying to get over as well. on people. And people are glossing over that and not understanding exactly what she was conveying.
They don't want to understand, brother. They do not want to understand.
And you got to give that woman her flowers. What she was amazing.
And when she was looked over for how many years?
Hello?
For how long? Like, nobody
don't even know who she is.
Like, it never existed.
Nobody knows who she is.
You never existed.
That's just a random black woman.
Yes. Do you know how that's got to, to hurt you? That's got to get to you some kind of way. Because she's been gracious to Caitlin and everything, she's been on coverage and stuff, and she's been gracious through this whole thing. I'm like, let her have her moment on this one. Be like, wait a minute now.
Let her pop her collar. Right, she pop her collar, please. She can't get over the fact they're playing with the men's basketball. That in itself is greater than anything that these women are doing today. But a men's regulation basketball, you're a woman?
And that is great. It's wild.
It's crazy.
More strength, more stamina.
And I imagine then whenever she was playing, like, I mean, the tournament would have been like it is now. There's so many more games and stuff people play.
Yeah.
Because the tournament that come, what, it's a 1982
it was no tournament
for women, I think it was.
Yeah, so she would in shortened seasons and all that.
That's wild. She think about that.
Riding on rickety school buses with no heat, air condition.
They gonna have to put asterisks for all these kind of records, like with this generation now, for the men and the women. That's like every time I see Baycott with the double double, I'm like, no, that's not for real, y'all.
They really did.
Baycott did that at like,
dude. It's like Bitcoin. It's like Bitcoin versus
y'all got.
Come on now. We gotta have some kind of. We gotta be for real about this. There needs to be some asterisk going on. We gotta use critical thinking.
It's on these COVID years because these.
This
COVID
is fake years, money.
They just be stacking.
Yeah,
I don't like it. That ain't the same.
I don't like it.
Y'all got any more thoughts with the women and anything on that side?
I just want to give my girl Cardoso some love. Cardoso. We got to get the big girls out of it. She was dominating, and she won most outstanding pair, so we got to give her some love as well.
Still dominated on the boards, and she was they allowed Iowa to play really physical with. And she got abused.
She got the sack treatment.
It was sad to see.
She got beat down.
And she was getting no calls. And she's just so nice.
She's so nice.
I love her. She's great.
One of the biggest things I want to recognize with the women, 18.7 million versus 14 million to the men. Yes.
Top five all time. Of any basketball, you know, men's, women's, NBA, playoffs.
That speaks volumes to where the game has come. I will say that's a positive that Caitlin Clark has brought. She's brought relevance to women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Even though it was, you know, definitely relevant before, but because of the viewership now, you know, they're getting their flowers where it's gotten a long time.
No, that's very true.
I know we're going to segue probably into the men's now.
Cameron, the dominant Huskies that they are, y'all. What is going on? UConn destroyed yet another one.
What happened? The blink of an eye.
This happened with UConn. Like now they're tied with us. Quick. With national championships, UConn is they're that team. They're that guy right now. And they put it to Purdue 75-60. What a dominant run these last two seasons UConn has had. 12-0 in the tournament, straight through double digit wins.
We got to start.
Yep,
like everybody else, Carolina got to start cheating.
Right.
Hey,
not cheating.
Gotta start.
Let me tell you, Jackson is the truth that's coming in. He's the truth.
Explain yourself. Explain yourself, brother. What do you mean? Gotta start cheating.
Matt Painter said, prior to the NIL, these people were getting paid. He said it, but all I got to say is we got to do better. We got to be paying some people some more money.
Yeah.
Carolina is not getting the recruits that we used to get.
I don't know what up with that.
No, not at all. I think Hubert's going to change it.
Well, I mean, because Carolina's dominance isn't what it used to be, you know.
Yeah.
When Coach K came in and kind of took over that dominance for some time, UNC became less relevant. You know, we did come in and sneak a couple here and there, but it all became about Duke, the brotherhood, you know, all of that. Coach K coaching the Olympics, you know, everything else. He had Kobe champion them, you know, all these LeBron, yeah, all the major stars in the NBA. So, of course, all the young kids were going to follow.
That's
that.
A good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that NBA connection and stuff with the stars and like how, like the people, the coaches that were seen and being put up there, it wasn't Carolina brand.
It wasn't the Carolina brand. Mm-hmm. Like nobody supported Roy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Roy wasn't like a, yeah, he wasn't a name like Coach K was.
Yeah.
Even though,
but Roy was winning too. That's what's so crazy. We were winning.
Roy was
on top of his head.
He was who he was. He was a fiery coach. Yeah. But some people, you know, just didn't like his style and
too much of a country really boy. Yeah. They ain't napping.
Yeah. had a pro. So, but we got to start. We got to get somebody in there that's going to cheat. That's good.
Brother, so I guess that's going to cheat. To put it on out there. We need a cheat. But good luck. We're going to get into that story later, but good luck with getting the players after what just transpired the last 24 hours.
Oh, to Arkansas.
A lot of money's going to be going to Fayetteville.
Calipari.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I wonder how that's going to go. I saw, and I didn't read it. I don't know if y'all did, because I know the NCAA, they just did something regarding NIL like a couple of days ago. Like some kind of way they're trying to control everything and stuff now. And I didn't read into it. And that might be something interesting to see what it is that they did going forward. Maybe the next podcast, we could get into it and talk about it. I got to read it. It's some consumer protection. Yeah.
Consumer protection plan. Yeah.
Man, that thing is the wild, wild west. it's over with now.
It's too late. They should have done this way beforehand. So I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to get the players that have to sign contracts. So it'd be harder for them to hop around from place to place to place.
Got to get them locked. That's what
Now, I would say I do have a little issue with this transfer portal.
Yeah.
It's getting on my nerves.
Oh, man. They make it more lenient now. I think the NCAA just put a new rule in there about making players eligible immediately.
Yeah, they did. Yep. It's like immediate. But I feel like everybody's one year, I'm out. And I'm like.
And that's everywhere.
But has it been everywhere? It's already been up in there, right? And I feel like everybody's tweeting as soon as the season's over. I'm going to the transfer portal.
It's in football and everything. The cat from Oregon, that was the leading. I mean, he's the star, a stud at Oregon.
Yeah.
He transferred.
I'm so confused. Like, I'm really confused because I don't know how this is supposed to benefit anybody at the next level. Like, I feel like you just missing all kind of development and growth. And
a dude at Ole Miss, the running back Ole Miss, too.
What they're doing is chasing the bag, baby.
Yeah.
Who got the most money?
Yep.
That's why it's Carolina.
You got a point. Got to start
doing pretty much.
You got a point. If they want to compete.
If they want to compete, somebody got to start opening up a billfold.
Yeah. Michael Jordan ain't paying nobody.
Michael Jordan, where you at, Michael?
That cat.
Agent Michael Jordan.
That ain't happening.
No.
Oh, man.
He ain't going to put. But UConn's dominant. Back to UConn's dominant. Their margin of victory. 140 plus
points. What? That's crazy.
Unheard of. Ridiculous.
Historical.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like watching this game, and brother, you were funny. You kept it about, it's about, you know, in our chat, it's about Purdue. You got another bra there, though. Rod, where?
Me and Cameron. What I was trying to make this game somewhat interesting when I already knew what the outcome was going to be.
We called it.
You talked about it. Yes. It was UConn and the rest of the field.
Absolutely.
My esteemed colleague here felt that
Auburn,
one team that started with an A,
I thought y'all were not going to bring this up.
It was like Alabama did play them the toughest. That was more
that's true, a
championship game than this one, but
yeah,
it definitely wasn't going to be Auburn. Yeah, it was the wrong.
Nope, it's the wrong A.
Yeah, the wrong team, but we
in Alabama
say it's UConn and the rest of the field. Rewind the tape. That was the first thing. Yeah.
But what is Hurley doing that the others aren't?
Absolutely.
Right now? What is he doing better?
I think his strategy was first of all, his offense is beautiful to watch. It's a fun way to play. It's attractive to anybody with skill. And his guards are so huge. They're all like 6'6", all long arms. They can all shoot. They all can dribble. They all can pass. Like he said, we recruit NBA players. So he has the best players.
Right there is the difference. He gets NBA players, and it's not one or two. He gets 10.
It's the whole squad. Yes. Here, South Carolina has two starter lineups.
They're both
UConn basically have two starter lineups.
Think about that. Molly came off the bench. And she has been a starter anywhere else in
the league. And I think you were saying, brother, like it was like the bench
anywhere
won
in the
championship.
Yep.
Like it was the bench that won it. But no.
The bench won it. The bench scored 37 points to zero.
That's great.
And
to zero.
UConn went 10 deep.
Yeah. And nobody does. Like college, people don't do that in college basketball.
They go as 7-8. Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
The 7-8. 8 at the most. And I'm going to tell you also, I think his strategy was brilliant. I'm going to let Edie just have what he have because I'm going to lock these other guys down. They don't have the talent that my guys have.
And Edie, what a rip. Like, he was killing them early. And, you know, like you said, letting them get what he got. He had 37, which was like over 60% of Purdue's points. And it's there right there. But it was like such a weird 37 because come that second half, they were, it went 10 minutes without
scoring. Because he had a long. He went like 20 minutes without scoring.
Klingon was, he had him locked up for a while.
Yes.
What I noticed in that first half, I said, well, this game is over with. Because in that first half, I said, ooh, Edie is huffing.
You did say that.
And he has been the whole year.
Right. That's a back wing, and that's a big body. 280 pounds?
No. Lingen's a big boy. And then the Johnson boy brings it.
He's huge.
Johnson was frustrating.
And a different thing.
He's
quick. He's agile. He can move and Edie is none of that. He's not quick or agile. But to Carlin's point, Hurley is a tactician. Like he talks about in every game, we just want to wear you out. When he goes in the half, he's like, we just want to break him.
I love it.
Alabama,
I love it.
Said,
yes.
We're going to get to the point where we break.
Yeah. It's always that point.
And his guys applied pressure on the defensive end, and on the offensive end, they run you through so many picks, so many screens.
So many screens.
Like Colin was saying, is just a beauty to watch because you have so many actions that you can take off of the screens that he's got going on. You can flare, you can backdoor off of it. There's all kinds of, you can curl off of the pin downs that they give, because each side is a pin down screen where the guys just read and react basically.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I'll tell you, Newton is a beast. Newton is like the perfect player in this offense, on this team. He's a perfect fit.
And he's huge.
A stock and stuffer, baby.
That guy's huge. Man, I was watching him towering over Smith.
Yes.
This cat is humongous.
I didn't even realize that before.
Yes.
And when he
didn't realize the height, I was like, this team is huge.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. He got some length on
the freshman, though. Castle.
Oh,
yeah.
He's going to be a problem.
Oh, Castle is. Whew.
When I saw him,
he's going to be a problem.
Saw him bullying them guys from Alabama in the previous game. I said, this dude, he is a monster.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to patty up against him, and he just, boom. He bumped into him. Boom, boom, late. I said, oh, man, this was a freshman?
A freshman.
And he's already a lottery pick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's a lottery pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Talking about him and Klingon, lottery picks, right?
I know. That's so wild. I was listening to some stuff with that today.
Yeah.
With them being lottery picks.
I was telling Cameron, I said last year when I saw Klingman was coming back, I said, well, you guys gonna repeat. I was like, oh. I was like, why did you not go to the draft, sir?
Get out of college. Coming back.
And let me tell you, there's literally nothing in stores, Connecticut. Nothing even close to being around it. So you know.
Nothing.
They are shoving out some dough. Because ain't nobody going out there.
They giving them boys so much money out there. And Hurley, that's why he can smile and talk all the junk that he can. Because he knows.
And talk he does all the time.
Oh. And he getting paid too. He getting $5 million to get himself. Plus, whatever.
They a whole Brinks truck at him from Kentucky.
Yeah, so let's talk about that since we hinted at it and stuff. So John Calipari. Out at Kentucky, he released some stuff on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it today. A little goodbye message. It was about 4 minutes long, rambling on, but he said it's time for some new voices, for Kentucky to hear some new voices, for the fans to hear some new voices. Everybody needs new voices around. Now it's a question of, few things to talk about, like just what we think about Calipari moving and looks, going here to Arkansas. It's looking like, and so also, who do we think is going to replace him? Because Hurley, that was one name thrown out there, but Hurley said he ain't going nowhere. Nato's been thrown out there, but he's not even
going to Kentucky. He's serious. He's a Northeast guy. He's not going to Kentucky.
Nate Oates is the only one that makes sense.
He said he's not leaving.
That's what he says now.
He said that's
PR talk.
But when they back up all them zeros to him, that'll change. He'll be just like Patino and Calipari were in the middle of the night.
I'm gonna tell you who I think it's gonna be. Don't laugh at me. I think it may be Billy Donovan.
Slip back.
He's Rick Pitino 2.0. They love Rick Pitino down there. He coached them before. He's not going to stay with the Bulls. He's not staying in the NBA. He had huge success at Florida in college. A Flickster? Oh, yeah. He gonna get the money. If he worked for Patino, you know he knows how to cheat.
He would make sense
coming back to college.
Make sense, but I don't think he's gonna.
Think he's gonna leave though? The league? I don't know.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I'm sure he's gonna get fired from Chicago. You think he's still coach there?
He still got him in the play-in, though.
Yeah, but it's the play-in. And Chicago's not going anywhere. They're forever rebuilding.
I don't think they want to win like they did before. I think they enjoyed mediocrity myself.
But they had the glory days. They're like, we're good.
I don't know. It's a lot of names that been thrown out there.
It's a lot that's been thrown out.
Yeah, I heard Scott Drew.
I don't like him.
That'd be weird to me. Scott Drew
he's
there.
He's wishy-washy to me. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not that great to me.
Yes. But he has no pressure whatsoever at Baylor. So I'll see him leave him.
You got to try to get, if it's for Kentucky, it's got to be somebody, a huge name.
They've thrown out Kelvin Sampson. They've thrown out Jonathan Smart. Name. They've thrown out Mark Pope.
He's too old.
That was like 70. Shaka, that would be interesting.
Yeah, because Shaka had indicated he wasn't. I remember one thing I was reading about him. Yeah, indicated he wasn't interested in any new coaching cycles and stuff like that. But that was before Kentucky was available.
I want Shaka to go Kentucky. I don't want that to happen to Shaka.
Oh yeah,
you see how they treated him in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. Imagine how they
say, get this Negro up out of here.
That might be a point. Points are made.
Death threats galore.
They did Tubby.
Look how they did Tubby.
Yeah.
Tubby was amazing at Kentucky.
And Tubby won.
They want him gone.
You're absolutely right.
Yes. And he wanted that a natty there.
Oh, no. What do y'all think about for Calipari in this move? Was this needed? Is it time? You think he's going to just kind of style going forward now?
Yeah.
They wanted him out of there.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious. Yes.
It was badly. Just because he had so much money on the books, they didn't see a way out of there.
That's true.
They just thanked for that Arkansas kid right. on it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you going to take this? Have it.
When you and the AD don't have a good relationship, it's never gonna work. So that was part of it too. The fan base hated him. AD hated him. He hated them too. Calipari hated them back as equally as much. it was time for him to get out.
He just we talked about that. He lost a lot of his bite that he used to have.
Yeah. You just
he wasn't the same, just
his demeanor and
got comfortable.
Oh yeah,
not the same.
His body,
he wasn't even
body language and everything
he used to. So he needed that fresh start, and Arkansas's got a lot of money.
Yeah,
they got a lot of NIL money,
and he knows how to get players.
Arkansas in that region, they lock it.
They do. And they're like, when they're good, they're are a fun team to watch out there. And they can make some noise. So
He can recruit that area. Like,
they get out.
Any top Arkansas not lead, they go
Memphis?
Go to Arkansas.
Yep. That's true. Yeah.
And he can get
poor
Memphis
Penny.
Players.
Penny's gonna lose all the playoffs.
So
yep.
Penny is not gonna like that because Cal.
He's gonna.
You said Cal gonna do what to him?
He's gonna take his player.
That player's a go. All right,
his player's gone.
Yeah, I said they go.
Yeah.
Oh, they gone. The Memphis gone.
It's okay.
They going to Arkansas. Arkansas.
That's gonna be interesting to watch. Well. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of developments to come with that. And whoever ends up being there, it's going to be fun.
But it's funny how the dominoes got us here. You know, with USC's coach moving on. And then a boy from Arkansas went to USC.
Yeah, there was a little domino.
And Cal going to Arkansas.
Yeah, it's a lot of moves.